magic number is one for the Hot Horror Show. The Pyramid of Touchdowns and the Outposts remain tied for the division. The Warriors stop the Rebels, kinda. While the Nanomites lose ground, we play 11 with four more to play. The home stretch to the playoffs starts now on the What's On Your Mind Fantasy Football Desk.
Bishop Sankey.
Thank God for Bishop Sankey.
Bishop Sankey.
Just like we were just talking about before recording started, he just didn't suck enough for a change.
He did just enough for me.
Just enough.
Just enough to break up Millville's win streak.
Either just not enough sucking or just enough not sucking.
I don't care in this case.
Screw it. Let's get into it. So we'll start with the week's premier matchup, premium matchup. In a game that both teams had to have, the Long Island RHP's 85 over Paris Nanomites 71. Rock Mastrangelo with a clutch performance. Debbie, just unfortunately, it's the wrong week for Peyton Manning to come up with 15 points.
Right.
That's tough.
Oh,
she got bit by a Rock Mastrangelo week, basically.
Believe me, I heard all about this. She was very pissed off about this, and then she looks at me and says, "For your sake, you better win your game, because that means that she would at least keep pace in the division."
And you couldn't even really pull that off.
No, not really. I helped a little bit.
He's only good for half a game, Jamie. What's the run up the creek?
Well, as usual, Gary's a little bit behind the times. A tie in fantasy football, Gary. A tie.
If you can give a banner for a tie, Mike, I don't know if you can. You should call it the Bengals Award.
Get an orange banner out there for a tie.
The Banner of Indifference.
The Cincinnati Bengals Banner of Indifference. I don't think that necessarily counts, though, because first off, it won't let me use that as criteria for a banner. Second off,
no.
banners, or rather, you know, Cincinnati fans generally aren't indifferent. They usually just cry a lot. But looking down the box score, Rock, again, that's a pretty good week, 85 points.
Solid week.
Yeah.
Pretty typical for him.
Six spots on the roster coming up with double figures, led by Matt Ryan in at 16. C.J. Anderson got lots of carries in St. Louis for the Broncos. Somehow came out with 11 points. I don't know how that worked. We got to check the rescoring on this league. Demaryius Thomas with 10. Levante Davis, the Tampa linebacker, with 13. The Bills defense coming up big with 10 points. And Matt, in the 19-17 shootout with Carolina, comes up with 13 points on his own. His kicker is his number two guy. Whereas Debbie just had Peyton Manning at his 15. The 49ers defense against the hapless Giants with 15. Keenan Robertson with 10. And then Reggie Wayne chipped in 9. And that's, you know, there's just not a lot going on the back end of her roster. She really needed a strong week out of the main man, and it didn't happen.
No, and I heard all about it.
I imagine that you will continue to hear it.
The good news for Colts fans is Ahmad Bradshaw is hurt, so now Trent Richardson can get all the carries.
He averaged 10 inches a shot last week.
In the win, the RHPs improved to 5-6. In the loss, the Nanomites fall to 6-5.
So we've linked it together with your game already. Let's segue right into the Millville Fort Wadsworth extravaganza. The game wound up tied at 86 points. Going into Monday, I was looking at this, and Gary had a 2-point lead going into Monday. Chris Brown's Millville Rebels had one guy left to play, that being, of course, quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, whereas Gary also had one player left to play, the disappointing rookie Bishop Sankey.
Who?
Exactly. First running back taken in last year's draft in the second round, mind you, but really hadn't done a whole lot for Tennessee this year. He's only got about 300 yards, not scoring a whole lot, but somehow he scratches out 9 points.
His second highest scoring week of the season.
Yeah, and Big Ben can only counter with 11.
Thank you, Tennessee.
Yeah, a monster week by the Packers defense for Millville goes by the board. Brandon Marshall with 21 points goes by the board as Gary is able to squeak out the upset tie.
I would consider this an upset. In fact, my fans, they rushed the field and they tore down the goalpost.
Wait. I'm assuming that's based upon weight ratio, because I'm assuming you don't have a whole lot of fans from just a number standpoint. So lots of big fans.
I mean, they would have to be if they're fantasy football fans. I'm amazed they could get up to storm the field at all.
There's a bunch of chaplains from the chaplain's assistant school.
Now, is that Jimmy Graham still playing football, correct?
It appeared that he is suiting up at least.
He did get 2 points.
Hey, I needed those two.
Two better than Pierre Garçon.
Newsflash, Garçon has been cut. He is now no longer on my team. I'm tired of Pierre Garçon. He's done. Peter Waiter, see ya.
Well, now that Dallas is through its bye, Terrence Williams will probably, even just by showing up, is probably going to give you a better week.
You do have the NFL Defensive Player of the Year on your team, Chris Borland.
Hey, don't knock this guy. Have you seen his stats from the last 3 weeks since he's really started full-time? 21, 20, and 22 points. This guy's a machine. He's going to injure himself before the end of the season. That's fine. He's 23 points every week for me, just about. I'll take it.
Yeah, he's been a beast. He was your leading scorer along with quarterback Andrew Luck, 22 points apiece, which is not a bad way to stack the top of the roster. Maybe work on Frenchie's roster spot there.
Which one, Marquise or Pierre?
Well, Marcus Colston, at least there too. He's at least, we know he's putting on shoulder pads and a helmet. His 5 big points, still 5 points better than Pierre Garçon.
So if Pierre Garçon had caught one pass for 9 yards, you would have won, Gary.
And I probably would have kept him.
Yeah.
But he has been cut.
Yeah. With the tie, Fort Wadsworth 6-4-1, Millville 8-2-1, and that 7-game win streak. By the board!
See ya! Gone. Still, you're both in first place in our respective divisions.
Exactly, and you get to have a feather in your cap for breaking the winning streak.
Yeah, baby.
So move on down the page here. In lesser action, Duke's Dominator 75, G.I. Joe Duff Crew 52. Evan Foster not holding up the genius sign this week. A little bit more like Wile E. Coyote this week.
His running back pitched zero.
Yes, the shutout.
Double shutout.
From Monty Ball and Arian Foster. Arian Foster, that's a tough break. That's the stupid league roster lockout kicking him in the butt right there. Because Arian Foster was by all intents going to play until Friday.
The commissioner's fault.
So are you being ironic and mocking us because the lockout's your fault?
Lockout's not my fault. I didn't change anything. I just didn't notice it to change it back. I wasn't aware that I had to redo all the rules every year. This ESPN thing really kind of sucks. I'm still mad about that. Monty Ball came up lame early in the game against St. Louis, so no points there either. He had Jordy Nelson for 16 in the Packers blowout win, and Robert Griffin, for some reason, is his starting quarterback. Got to do better than Robert Griffin, man.
Yeah, I would not be starting Robert Griffin.
Sanchez was still the better play, as he was on the bench with 15 points. Not that it would have gotten him a win, but Robert Griffin's really that bad at this point.
Well, Sanchez was getting some touchdowns in garbage time.
Yeah.
Robert Griffin's, I don't even think, good for touchdowns in garbage time.
Although,
right now.
In fairness, if you look across the way at Nick Adams' roster, either quarterback would have been a marked improvement over Derek Carr of the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, Derek Carr. What the hell?
Chipped in with a big 4 points this week.
What? Why are we even starting Derek Carr
over Sean Hill?
What happened here?
Nick Adams, I got a trade proposal for you right here. Le'Veon Bell, I'll take for Joe Flacco.
Well, that's courteous of you, Gary.
Jeez.
I'm in a giving mood right now.
My mediocre backup quarterback for the best tailback in football.
Arguably the best.
Arguably. Yeah, 27 points out of Le'Veon Bell this week. The big bright spot, really, is the difference in this game.
The only difference in this game.
Yeah, pitch shutouts with Greg Jennings and Scott Chandler. 1 point out of kicker Brandon McManus. 4 points out of the Broncos defense, although really that's a little surprising because they didn't do a terrible job against St. Louis. You know, Marshawn Lynch was kind of average at 12 points. Jeremy Maclin had a good game at 16, but that's all that's cooking on this roster. He had more riding on the bench than he did in the starting lineup and still managed to walk away by double figures. That's what we call a lucky week, Nick Adams.
Nick and the Dominators approved the 5-6. Evan Foster and Duff Crew go to 4-7.
He'd been in 4-7. Falling out of the race. Moving forward, Jay Taylor's Body Massagers, 102. Tommy Fauntleroy and the Springfield Steel Ninjas, 61.
Ooh.
We were expecting a competitive game in this one with two 500 teams. Take a look down there. What happened in this game?
It would look like at the bottom two-thirds of Springfield's lineup did absolutely nothing except for the Cardinals defense.
Yeah, if you look at the body massagers roster and the keywords there, everybody plays, everybody wins. Seven players with double figures in points, and that's going to win you a lot of games.
I mean, 7 points from the Titans alone, I think, were all from the sacks they had on Roethlisberger.
Yeah, they're too. But they had some turnovers and stuff. I'm really surprised that that only got them 7 points for the game. Granted, they lost, but, you know, it's not like one of those embarrassing kind of losses. Yeah, T.Y. Hilton was really the only non-factor on his roster at the job New England did on him.
Yeah, New England shut him down. You should probably not started him if you got away with it.
Yeah, looking at the bench, it would have been a point more with Eddie Royal. So,
and a shockingly terrible week for Phillip Rivers against Oakland. Shockingly terrible.
Yeah, I'm beginning to wonder if the Chargers are kind of returning a little bit back to earth.
Yeah, that's four in a row for them.
I know our good pal Chris Brown was singing their praises early on in the season when they were, 3-1, 4-1, and we're like, dude, your schedule is soft.
Yeah. Charmony.
Mr. Whipple would not like you squeezing the Chargers' schedule.
No, but Phillip Rivers is as tough as they come, and they're not reporting anything on the injury report, but the rumors are that he's got, at best, just some bruised ribs, and at worst, maybe some broken ribs that he's trying to play his way through. Moving forward, in the battle of the basement, Charlottesville cleans out the New England Bazookas. 123-77.
Hey, look out. Charlottesville is on a roll.
Yeah. At 5-6, they're not logging in their way to respectability. Still both teams dead in the water. This is just the week it all came together for Uthman's roster. 27 from Jake Cutler, 22 from Eddie Lacy, Jeremy Hill, AJ Green, Malcolm Floyd.
Jason Witten.
Jason Witten, of course, on his bye. Justin Bell, not to be outdone, had two players on bye.
Hey, Mike, can you check the Jay Cutler number for me? There's a commissioner, and I'm not sure if that 27's correct. It doesn't seem plausible.
Let's break it down.
27 points from Jay Cutler. Get out of here.
330 yards, three touchdowns.
Are we sure that was not someone else in the Jay Cutler uniform? Can we confirm that?
No, actually, I cannot, because we were not at the game. What's on Joe Mind? Track staff gave this one a pass because who'd care? Charlottesville and New England. Upland goes up to 5-6. Justin Bell drops to 2-9. Again, both teams just out of it. So why would we bother? If that's where the real Peyton Manning was wearing a Jay Cutler shirt, we wouldn't know. To match the weirdness of Jay Cutler and his 27 points, Andy Dalton matched that with 27 points of his own. Andy, negative touchdown Dalton, 27.
I've had a trade proposal for Jamal Charles, but Justin Bell's not logged in, so I don't think that's going to go through.
No.
I tried. He read it, but he didn't answer.
Obviously, he just hates you both.
This game was so bad, the Red Zone Channel reviews it.
What's the name of the guy on the Red Zone Channel? Scott.
Scott Hansen, that's on the NFL Red Zone Channel, and then you have Siciliano on the DirecTV.
Scott Hansen refused to acknowledge it. Charlottesville improves to 5-6. New England at 2-9. Again, Scott Hansen could have told you that.
No one cares. Next game.
Yeah, Jamie Creech, the hot continues. 10-1. 10 in a row. 97-68 over Oregon Outpost 788.
32 points by Mike Evans. It seems like every week he has one player that steps up and delivers, and this week was the rookie's week to finally do it for his team. I was thinking that, especially with the field day that Brady was going to have on this Colts defense, I thought for sure that this was the Outpost week to end the winning streak. The winning streak has reached double digits, folks. He is one win away from clinching his division. He made it a no contest, 30-point win over the Outpost. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the Tom Brady having a bad game in the big...
I don't think he had a bad day as much as they just steamrolled the Colts, as I recall.
He knows how to hand off, but really those two picks in the first half that he threw were pretty ugly. This was that rare game where Tom Brady was way, way off, and they recognized it and didn't let him throw the ball much. Also hurting him, Julius Thomas going out the opening minutes, St. Louis. That's a lot of points just going by the wayside. It was a tough week for Aaron Rayfield. And again, Mike Evans got to play the Washington Redskins, so there you go, big week. Because what do we know about the Washington Redskins, everybody?
They stink out loud, and they owe me $2,700.
We'll have to hear about this one after we roll credit. In the win, the horror show improves to a whopping 10-1. Oregon Outpost still in first place in their division, at 6-5.
Yeah, hanging in there. Caught a break on that one at Oregon Outpost, so they get to try and win and control their destiny in this thing. Jamie Creech is just on fire. Moving on down the road, we've got Jamie Johnson and the Transformers squad. 93, waxing the Pyramid of Touchdowns. Only 49 points.
Yes, I'm really good at fantasy football defense.
You are. You have the best defense in the league.
Fantasy football. You're a beneficiary of the Matthew Stafford slide.
Yeah, but don't matter. I'm at Jamie Creech's division, so it don't matter.
Yeah, you're toast. Four games back with four to go. It probably ain't going to happen. But, yeah, Matthew Stafford, 4 points. Ahmad Bradshaw was part of that wasting in Indianapolis with nothing left with a broken ankle. Martellus Bennett has disappeared. Chicago, only 2 points despite the win. Just not a good showing by a lot of spots on his roster, whereas he got another serviceable 20 points out of Ryan Tannehill.
Jamie, not that it really mattered. Why'd you sit J.J. Watt? Dude scored another touchdown.
Because DeAndre Leve scores more consistently.
Yeah, but they don't put J.J. Watt in there to run the fade out of the fullback spot.
Yeah, they don't put DeAndre Levy out there on tackle eligible.
Due to bye weeks, Mr. J.J. Watt is now back in the starting line.
There we go.
Your leading touchdown guy.
And can someone tell Calvin Johnson the season started?
Hey, man.
God, man.
As hurt as he was, the fact that he's out there frying is still impressive. That he ain't going to be right the rest of the year. Good that you finally got a week out of Alshon Jeffrey.
In the win, Jamie at 6-5. With the loss, Pyramid of Touchdowns are at 6-5.
Premature confirmation, 79. And the FU's, 69. Once again for the FUs, it's Aaron Rodgers and the Eight Dwarfs. but actually, good games out of Curtis Loft in the defensive spot. Vinatieri with 9 points out of the kicker spot, and nothing else going on for the FUs. Whereas, Carson sticks with Cam Newton, gets that rare 20-point game. Michael Crabtree with 14 as the only guy who can get in the end zone against the
Giants.
He
doesn't have anyone else other than Cam Newton.
Emmanuel Sanders, yeah, might want to find a replacement for him now, but he contributed before he was knocked out last week with 16 points.
I got a question starting to Marcus Dobbs. I'm going to question that decision.
I don't... Who? Yeah.
Who?
I'm not sure. You'd figure if you're going to grab a defensive end from Seattle, you'd at least grab a guy who starts.
Next week, he needs to plug in a new wide receiver and another either wide receiver or tight end because he's hurting right there in the middle of his lineup at wide receiver 2 and 3.
Yeah, there's going to be some waiver wire combing.
Yeah.
Provided Carson even cares, although he's still in this. He's 4-7. He's still only 2 games back.
Can I be in that crappy division?
Maybe next year.
Which one's Gary's in? That's got to be the crappiest one.
Hey,
if Gary's win,
hey,
I mean, come out.
I'll see you in the playoffs. Oh, wait, you won't be there.
Whereas, Ashley's FUs are 3.5 games out in fourth place and still more alive than Jamie. But you still have a little bit of house honor left, possibly. Granted, she'll have to win out, Gary will have to lose out.
But not going
to
happen.
There's no water in this house. None.
Hey, can we preview next week?
Sure, Gary.
Sure.
Well, Jamie's getting despondent in this one.
I know.
He's done with life at this point. He hates us all.
Let's start at the bottom of next week's preview. It is quite possibly the Sacco Bowl preview with the 2-9 Bazookas going against the 3-8 FUs.
Yes.
Hey, Justin Bell's got a full starting lineup.
I think the bye weeks are all done now, except for Patrick Willis. Patrick Willis ain't going to play, but whatever, he still counts. Better tell the wife Dwayne Allen's probably out.
I'm predicting a full-on Dan Bailey 50 points. Just going to kick the heck out of the ball for the win.
The Bazookas are projected as the winners here pretty handily. We're looking at 99-81 in the projected score, so she might want to shuffle some roster around. Move forward. You've got you move and play the premature confirmation, Jamie. On their field, you are favored to win this one pretty handily, 89-64.
Well, but he'll probably leave his tight end spot blank. But Josh McDown's looking at a big week here going up against the Bears.
Even though he's played there before, this is in Chicago in the elements. And Tampa Bay traditionally has not played well up there, especially when it's cold.
Lovie Smith revenge game. I circled this one at the beginning of the season. Bears are going to lose this game handily.
Because I disagree with Jamie, I have chosen the Bears defense this particular weekend.
Oh, Gary. Oh, Gary, I hope you lose.
Yeah, look, I'm not picking the Bucks to win this thing, but picking the Bears defense for anything at this point. God, those guys are terrible.
It's Chicago in the cold and rain and snow. I'm going to have faith in history and weather on this one.
Moving on, Aaron Refield, Oregon Outpost 788, plays host to the Charlottesville Keelhauls. 5-6, matched up against 6-5. Although Aaron Refield should, you'd think he would win this one because he actually logs in and adjusts his roster.
Oh, Dan, he's talking smack, man. Come on, just log in.
We've also got the horror show takes their show on the road against the Pyramid of Touchdowns. Pyramid of Touchdowns kind of needs this one, and that's a bad week to run into the horror show because, as we know, you can't beat them on the road.
Well, if you look at the projections, this could be a tight game.
Yeah, that's what we've said every week.
I'm waiting for the bottom to fall out of Andre Ellington and Justin Forsett.
It's not like he's riding him for the rest of his life. He's just got to ride him this year.
Justin Forsett is not going to fall out against New Orleans.
No.
And Seattle's running defense is part of poop town this year.
It's not what it was last year.
But I do want Drew Brees to do very well because I pretty much have every offensive player now, with the exception of a running back from New Orleans, on my team. Drew Brees, I expect a big week.
Calling your shot, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Calling my shot for my team as a result of his team getting a lot of points.
A little segue into your game. Fort Wadsworth taking it on the road against Nick Adams and Duke's Dominators.
I need a win. Hopefully this is going to be my easy win week.
He's learned his lesson. He's got Sean Hill at quarterback. He may not score a ton of points, but at least he's not going to give them away either. Got the bye week for Le'Veon Bell. That's kind of interesting. Nick, log in, buddy.
Screw you, Nick. You can't figure it out by now. I don't care.
Hey, Gary, it's okay to score more than your opponent. You don't have to get the same as they do.
The Bishop Sankey Tie Award.
Gary's so bold, he just has, like, an empty spot on his team. I don't need it. A little cocky there, bud.
Sankey's not starting. I'm going with Trey Mason this week and Frank Gore. All my receivers are with New Orleans. Colston, Stills, and Graham.
That seems like a rational strategy. Well, now, hold on. How many points is Chris Borla going to score against Washington? 25?
Hey, if he does that, they even better.
It's one of those where I doubt he's going to be on the field enough to score 20 points again, because that is Washington, after all. The nation's capital of three-and-out offensive drives. Moving forward, we've got Ibibin Foster and his 4-7 Duff crew favored over the Springfield Teal Ninjas. Come on, Tommy Fauntleroy. Defend your turf.
Come on, man.
Come on, man!
They're 4-7, you're 5-6. What's up with that? You got some rebound to do, man. Do you have any options to the injured Philip Rivers? Well, Michael Vick's on his bench. I'm not sure that's a great alternative, but it is at, not at Buffalo. I really don't like that, although I don't know. Phil Rivers against that feisty Rams defense isn't a real attractive option either. I think it's time to try making a trade.
I have Flacco. I'll trade him for Alfred Morris. He's serviceable enough.
Yeah, he's going to get carries, I suppose. Whatever 50 yards and no touchdowns translates into in fantasy points.
5 points.
Might be better than what Bishop Sankey gives you week after week. Got Paris Dynamites against the Red Hot Body Massagers.
This is a must-win game for both teams.
Pretty much. I mean, Debbie absolutely has to have this one. 2.5 back with 4 games to go. Jay Taylor's, I mean, the party's pretty much over. He has to have it. It's still pretty much a moot point that the Renegade eventual champion, JB Creech, is just going to knock him out one week or another anyhow.
I'm thinking whoever wins this game is going to make it to 500 and have a respectable record going into the consolation brackets. Whoever loses this game, it's going to pretty much spell doom for the remainder of the season because I don't see any recovery. Ultimately, I think here's what's going to happen here. I'm going to go ahead and cheer on Debbie. Debbie will win, and then she will be eliminated in the couch bowl.
As always, he finds the path of maximum asshole. Gets on it and drives 108 miles an hour.
Gary, you, sir, are the worst.
But in the preview, she's projected to win by 2, but if you talk to her otherwise, she's going to lose by 30.
Well, Antonio Brown being out this week helps. I'm assuming he'll log in tomorrow and swap out for Eddie Royal, but that isn't going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Eddie Royal's real value is that he returns punts. Might have that random 1 or 2 a season that helps him out there, but yeah, it's not a real great substitution there. And then we'll come down to the last game of the week. The RHPs fly to Millville
I'm very interested in this game.
Another one that Rock Mastrangelo kind of has to have.
I really need Millville to win, and I know Debbie does not want that to happen, but I really, really need Millville to win this game.
You just want to put Mr. Mastrangelo down, do you?
Put him out of his misery, let me clinch my division, get my players rested for the playoffs.
Playoffs?
This is what drives him to Star Joe's, you know. Some injury concerns for the RHPs. Julio Jones, yeah, we don't know about him. Levante David, same thing. We really don't know about Levante David for this week. Really, same thing with Millville, as Brandon Marshall is a question mark at this point.
Yeah, but Millville gets Josh Gordon for the first time this week.
Yeah, he's going to play 10 snaps because he's out of shape.
We'll see.
You lose a lot of cardio when you're just sitting around huffing weed.
Well, it will be in the dome. He doesn't have to put up with the elements.
Yeah, it's Atlanta, too, so a high altitude is not a factor.
No. Mike, let's look at the standings.
Let's take a look. The Sunbow Division. Chris Brown's Millville Rebels, 8-2-1 in first place. They win, and they pretty well lock this one up.
Yeah, basically his magic number is 2.5. So any combination of 2 Millville wins and 2 Nanomite losses, that will pretty much seal up this division.
Yeah, Nanomites at 6-5 in second place. Nick Adams, Duke's Dominators, at 5-6, tied with Tommy Fauntleroy and the Springfield Teal Ninjas for third, 3.5 back with 4 to play. Good luck, gentlemen. We move over to the Deke Division, and we've got Pyramid of Touchdowns and Oregon Outpost 788 tied for first at 6-5.
TDs apparently own the tiebreaker.
Okay, so the Pyramid of Touchdowns in first place by an asterisk. And then we've got Premature Confirmation of Carson Metaxas. 2 games back at 4-7.
Carson's not quite out of this yet.
No, he's still drawing air. Unlike your friend and mine, Justin Bell, 2-9.
Done. Out.
4 back with 4 to play.
And
yeah,
he's in the same predicament I'm in. 4 back. Awesome. Fantastic.
So Jamie's team is essentially the New England Bazookas of the Renegade Division. Anyways, moving forward, the Resolute Division is where Gary is medium and sort of taking command as opposed to large and in charge. 6-4-1. Then we've got the RHPs for Rock Mastrangelo, 1.5 back at 5-6. Ebibin Foster and the Duff Crew at 4-7, 2.5 back, still on life support. And then the FU's 3.5 back in fourth place.
Out. Done.
Also still technically alive.
They're done.
Gary's calling for time of death, but we have to wait for next week to make it official.
Done.
And lastly, the Renegade Division, Jamie Creech, the horror show.
Holy crap.
10-1, 10 in a row, putting on a stretch of dominance not seen before in the What's on Joe Mind Fantasy Football League. This is a real good division, and he's owning it. Jamie's Transformers squad at 6-5. Jay Taylor's and the Body Massagers also 6-5. 4 back with 4 to play. Dan Uffman is the only team mathematically eliminated for the playoffs at 5-6.
And I think they'd be leading Gary's division, right?
Something like that. Put it in by 2 games or something. But the 5-6 and out.
Now with Horror Show, they've pretty much all but clinched the division. If they win this weekend, simply just win. They're in. Now we're looking at, can they get past 13 wins? 13 wins is the league record set by Uthman in their inaugural season. Can they get past 13 wins? That's his next milestone after winning the division.
Yeah, Justin went on the wild card game last year. So.
Yeah, he did. He was the wild card.
But looking forward, if we were handing out the James Kavanaugh Trophy for highest scoring team, it's still Jamie Creech. And, of course, he would also be getting the Charles Emanuele Memorial Trophy. We miss you, Chuck.
No.
It's the Memorial Trophy. We have to talk about him like he's dead.
Not like his podcasting career.
Well, it's not like he's going to listen to this.
It has to do with this sports ball. I live in the basement.
Whatever, guys.
Still a lot more awards to be handed out. We still got 4 to play. Anything can happen, really, with the exception of the Horror Show losing their position.
Anything can happen except Justin Bell winning a division.
Yeah, that is not going to happen. Justin Bell is not going to win out and win anything.
That's something special. We have 2 past champions, and they're going to arguably be the worst 2 teams in our league. I don't know if we've don't know how many times that's happened in fantasy football history.
All right, all this comedy is just totally overloading us. So we probably start looking for the out here so we can start exiting this program and begin working on week 12.
Week 12. It's big, it's bad, it's the dirtiest of dozens. Enjoy the What's on Joe Mind Fantasy Football League.
Good night.